But take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. As I mentioned earlier, next week we'll have in Sunday school and in church, we're going to have the shepherds here and we're going to have the wise men. Now we know there's about a couple of years maybe between the two visits, but we'll have them both on Sunday morning as we look at that. But take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Very familiar text as we've had. Now notice verses 13 and verse 14, just to kind of get our foot in the door. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereafter. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We do pray for the many that's on our prayer list. A lot of folks going through a difficult time with sickness. A lot of people going through problems. We just pray that you'd meet those needs. We do also pray for our country. We pray for Israel. We pray for the other wars that are going on around us, Lord. We just pray that people would see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray as we look at this text this morning that those that do not know you as Savior, that they would look at this and think of the narrow way, which really it seems hard because man has to trust the Lord completely and fully, and man has no part in it, but where man always wants a part of their salvation, and how we need to know that you're the way, you're the truth, and you're the life, and no man comes to the Father but by thee. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, beware of false prophets with their false message. In verse 13, now it's going to kind of reverse a little bit on verse 13. 13, the second part of that verse, B, the wide gate. And then secondly, verse 13A, and then 14, the straight gate and narrow gate. And then in verse 15 to 20, the false or true prophets. And of course, we have a lot of those around today, a lot of the false prophets too. Now, as you look at this text, it's really part of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. As he speaks to the people of his day, many were being led astray by the wide gate that leads to destruction. The Jewish leaders had taken really the law and really made that a way of salvation. And of course, I remember, and I don't remember the fellow's name. I need to look back. It was a fellow at Dallas Theological Seminary who had checked and done a lot of searching on really the human side, looking at things. And he has found out that during the time, the Jewish leaders had brought in about 365 don'ts and 250 do's that they added to the law to try to make it look harder of more works that they would do. As Jesus spoke to these folks, they had a man-made religion. And you know, that's what we have today too. You know, man wants a part to play. But you know, when it comes to salvation, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. You can't add anything to it. As we look at this, there's also a message for us today. We see so many churches who have their different ways of salvation, leading people astray and leading people to destruction. The same one, Satan, that was in that day, at the time of Christ on earth, he's still busy today. But you know, there's one thing to think about. You think back in the Old Testament, Genesis 15:6, as God spoke to Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. Salvation has always been by faith and faith alone. You can't add anything to it. It's just by faith and faith alone. And we'll get into more of that. Now, of course, we do as a church. We get baptized. We also, we do good deeds. And we also join a church, not to be saved. That's the big part, not to be saved, but we do that because we are saved. If you begin to add that as part of your salvation, that's works. And that's not what the scripture says. Now let's look at this. Let me read verse 13b again. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein. Now a gate is a door leading into an area. And of course today a gate is tied to a fence, we often think. But you know, a door in your house is the same thing. As you go in, you enter in. The gate or the door is the way you enter. Here we speaks of the entrance into heaven and the way of salvation is what Jesus is speaking of. In John 10, verse 7 and 9, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, so Jesus is the proper door to enter in to salvation. John 14, 6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know, a lot of people, they don't like it. It's too narrow. But that's really what Scripture says. The Pharisees in his day had taken the law and had really made it a way of salvation. I'm holding on and holding out. And of course, works are involved in the sense of man's way. He wants to have his way. This is why so many miss the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah to come as the king and set up the kingdom. They weren't looking for a Savior. As stated before, the Pharisees were working their way and keeping the law. You know what Paul tells us in Romans 3:20? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. This was never given. The law was never given to save anyone. It was given to show us we're sinners. You know what it is when we put our life next to what you study the law in the Old Testament? You know what happens? You have to say, I fail. I can't keep it. In fact, in James 2:10, James tells us, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. All it takes is one sin. There's only one person that ever walked this earth without and keeping the law without any sin, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He and he alone. He and he alone. Also today, we have the same thing. Many holding on and holding out for thinking some way they might make it. Some view salvation as a scale, you know, like you got so many bad things and so many good things. Kind of like that scale of justice. And thinking that if they have enough good, that God will just let them in. Friend, that's not what the Scripture says. He's going to ask you about Jesus. Today we have the same thing over and over. You know, there are others who look at the Savior and they feel that, well, that's not enough, just trusting him. John 14, 6, once again, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, my friend, that's pretty narrow. That's pretty narrow. Man will say, well, I need the church. I need the baptism. I got to do something. But, you know, when you ask God, what can I do? He's going to say, you can't do anything. The only thing you can do is receive what my son did on the cross. He did it. And, of course, that's the only thing that you can do. And, of course, I also see the extreme of some. They come and they come to churches and they think that, you know, we can live any way that I can, but, you know, they don't realize the truth, what real salvation is all about. You know, Paul shares with us, and really in the letters we've been studying, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, how you come to Christ. He says, far from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and ye turn to God from idols to serving the living and true God. You know, when you come to the place that you realize I'm going down the wrong direction, and you see the right way through Jesus Christ, and what Paul said, when you turned to Jesus, you turned away from whatever you were holding on to. You know, a lot of people, they don't realize that truth. And that's what happened. When folks really turn to Christ, they're turning away. And in a sense, you're saying, Lord, I can't change my life, but you can, as you go to him. And that's why the self-righteous have such a hard time with the gospel. Or the sinful person who is not tired of their sin, you know, they want to just live their life. You know, people, sin really, really people just love their sin. That's what keeps so many from Christ. Now, the broad way, when you add to God's way of salvation, you want a man to have some part in it, or you forget about, you know, really turning to God and turning to Him and wanting Him to change your life, to the broad way, it appears to be man favors that, but I can have my self-righteousness is what they want. But you can't be saved that way. This way leads to destruction. This way leads to hell. Dr. McGee had a little, as he gave this story here, he used a, really, he was using a funnel. You know, if you think of a funnel, one end is wide and it comes down to a little narrow point. The wide way is wide and it looks like it's so easy. But the smaller end is small, the narrow way. Many there be that go therein. They think that this is the easy way, comfortable way. It's broad. You know, I can have my own way. Many going their way. We all know that case. Many religions are like that. You know, it's all man. What can I do? What's my part? Friend, we do, and we are to work for the Lord, but we're not called to salvation in that way. Now, notice, secondly, we see the straight gate, the narrow gate, 13a, and then verse 14. Enter ye into the straight gate, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Now, remember, it is the door, and Jesus is the door. In John 10, 7 and 9 also, Jesus is the door, the only way to enter in. And of course, as Dr. McGee uses that funnel as an illustration with this, you enter in at the small end because you know what it is. Man has to lay aside everything that he has and know that it's only in Jesus and it's only him. Just the opposite from the wide way that, you know, it's a wide way in, but it gets narrow. You know, John 14, 6, and I've said this about three times, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know, there's no room for man's self-righteousness or adding to Jesus something. And as I mentioned before, we as Baptists, we believe in being baptized. We believe in joining a church. We believe also in doing good deeds. But the all-important thing, not to be saved, but we do that because we are saved. There's a big difference. Now, if you're doing and holding on to works, you're holding on what you can do. You know, there's one thing. If we could work our way to heaven, why would God have sent his son to die on the cross? Why would he have him do all of that if we could do it? There's no room for man's self-righteousness or adding anything to it there. Man wants to say, me and God did it. But friend, that was not true. For when you come your way, you're not coming God's way. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The all-important question, have you come through Jesus Christ and him alone? You know, we think of Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You come with no works. The only thing you do is all by grace. It's all by faith. The only thing you can do is receive what Jesus did. Now in verse 10, it speaks about that we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus in two good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that's once you're saved, then you are to work. We are to serve the Lord. We are to do our part trying to get out the word of God and the gospel. This led to life, life everlasting, eternal life in heaven with the Lord himself, or destruction in life. You know, that's the decision that each person has to make. You know, few be there that find it. Notice, find it. Maybe they are not finding it because they, you and I as Christians, aren't sharing that message with them. We have a responsibility there too. We know the way, but we are telling it and sharing with others. Few it be few, it is always has been a few who are trying to get that message out. And we best be careful that we listen to, because I want to tell you, there's a lot of false prophets out there too. So if you've got anything at all out of this, it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And you can't add anything to it. Now notice the false prophets. Jesus talks about them. Verse 15 to 20. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now false prophets, false teachers. Jesus warns to beware of these ones. Follow and don't following them. In that day, they had prophets that were sharing a message that was not from God. Notice they came in sheep's clothing. They were messengers that tried to imitate God's messengers and tried to message their messages from God. They are those giving forth the broad way, which leads people astray. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 through 15, makes it clear that Satan has preachers too, just as well as God does. That's why you have to know the Word of God to know who's giving out the truth and who's not. They disguise themselves as true ministers of the gospel, but they're peddling another way. They act like sheep, but they really are wolves in sheep's clothing. Satan, Peter speaks about Satan in 1 Peter 5:8. He goeth forth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, Satan wants to destroy you and I too. He wants to destroy the people. He knows his doom, and he wants others to be with him in eternity in the lake of fire. From Christ in a horrible place. And the sad thing, many of those false prophets are led astray too. Look at verse 16 through 18. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Yeah, you know them by their fruits. As I look at this, it would speak of their words as well as their works. You know, I often say, being a witness for Christ, it's what you say, of course, but it's also how you live. You know, you're going to have a hard time if you don't live the gospel to lead someone else to believe it and to trust Christ. Their character of these false teachers, their conduct and their speech, it could speak of a sinful life of a preacher. And many of them do live two lives. Many people do too, sometimes just Christians. Often the lives of the false prophet look like, on the outside, they're the real McCoy. But you know, they're far from it. You know, there's another verse in salvation is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now, it's not just saying you just say a few words, but what Paul is talking about there, your mouth is speaking it, but your heart is speaking it too. It's when your mouth and your heart that will confess, that's what it means to say the same thing. Also, always test the folks that you listen to. Always test what they say. That's why it's so important to know God's word. You know, that's one reason that I feel very clearly, and of course the gospel is where commission is to share the gospel, but then also as a local church to teach God's word that people would understand and know how and not to be led astray, to know the word of God. You know, the thing about a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit of God within us, who's there to help us and to guide us. You may see them deny some of the fundamentals of the faith. They may deny the deity of Christ or the virgin birth or some previous doctrine that we think about, the fundamentals of faith, which I think all Christians hold to those. And so many hold to some, but not all. They do not preach salvation through the blood of Christ and that alone. And deceitful as Satan can be, he's using them to lead others astray. You can also notice this by their converts. I think that's speaking of it here too. That is why you do not see the cults down on Skid Row. You ever notice that? The false religions that we see, you don't see them down there trying to win people to Christ and change their life. They don't have anything for them. The only thing they can have is, well, oh, just try harder. Just hold on and hold out and just try. God to deliver you. Only the grace of Christ can transform a life. You know, there's nothing more convicting to see someone who's been deep in sin and come to Christ and their life has changed. I've mentioned this several times. I used to work with a fellow there in Evansville. Now, he's up in Ohio now, still working for the same place. Well, he's probably retired now. But I remember he was a wild child. He used to have one of those three-cylinder Kawasaki, I guess it is, motorcycles, and it was wild. But you know, that fellow got saved. And I'm going to tell you, the people I worked with when I worked for Western, most of the time you were out on the road and you were out of town, and they were some wild people. But he got saved in his life. And what a testimony he was. People, as they saw this man, his life, he was going the wrong direction and everything. And he came to know Christ, and God changed his life, changed him completely. Everything in nature reproduces after its own kind. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant peas, you're going to get peas. And if you go on in this same chapter, he talks about the tares in Matthew 13, verse 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. Good fruit comes from good trees. Bad fruit comes from bad trees. You plant grapes, you get grapes and not thorns. You plant fig trees and you get figs and not thistles. Notice verse 19 and 20. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, the bad tree is cut down and thrown into the fire. The broad way of the false teacher will lead to hell and not to heaven. The one who follows the false prophet and teacher is following them to the same doom. Sadly, many do not realize this till it's too late. Be sure to test one that you listen to, and make sure, as you think very clearly, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then also the false teacher, once you become a Christian, you've got a lot of those teaching the Bible too. You need to know the scripture so you won't be led astray. But you know, as you think of this, in conclusion, are you going the broad way or the straight and narrow way? Remember, the gate is the way to the entrance. Jesus made it clear that he is the only true door and only way of salvation. Is your salvation in your righteousness or Christ's righteousness and that only? What you trust, what you're trusting, will it carry you through? You know, faith saves, but you got to be sure your faith is in the right thing. You can have a lot of faith in all kinds of things, but faith alone saves. Is your Lord carrying you, or are you carrying him? That's one thing that McGee used to say a lot of times. You know, people worship their idols, and somebody's saying, well, I don't worship no idol, not like they bow down to an idol, but man, we got our money or things and all of that we worship too. But you know, as you think about an idol in the Old Testament especially, you know, they looked at that as a god. But you know, if they wanted to move that idol, they had to move it themselves. That idol wasn't carrying them. I'm glad I got a God that can carry me and not me trying to carry him. What you're trusting is, will it carry you through? Best be sure of what your faith is in. Has your salvation changed your life and your direction? Did you come to the place of wanting a new life and change? God will change it. If you come to him, he'll change you. Trusting Christ from the old life. How sad to many people, and I've thought of so many people that have been led astray by people. And you know, they come to the end of the road. And friend, if death comes, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. and after that the judgment. There's no second chances after death. None. None. How sad. And only a few find that narrow way. As I mentioned before, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It really, the word confession means to say the same thing. It's the heart and the mouth saying the same thing. You know, I read this several weeks ago in a message. Lewis Berry Chafer, who was the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, he has an 8-volume set of theological theology teaching that he had, systematic theology. And I have those books. And in that, he's got a little saying about salvation. And I think it's probably the best little, hate to say a ditty, but a little verse that really brings salvation down to where it is. He says, saving faith may thus be defined as a voluntary turning from all hope and grounds based on self-merit. That eliminates self. And assuming an attitude of expectancy towards God, trusting him to do a perfect saving work based only on the merits of Christ. That's why I say we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. For as I know, those that are here today have trusted Christ. But you know, we need to come and to look at that. And you know, we need to realize too, in the day that we live in, as we see so many things going, if you know much about the scripture, no one knows the day or the hour when Jesus is coming at the rapture. But it could be any moment. A lot of things are going on. We ought to be busy doing what we can to get that true message out that people might be saved. We always like to close, though, with the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us will ever stand before the Lord and say, oh, I'm good enough. Look at all these deeds I've done. Look at all these works. Look at all the money I gave to a church. Look at all this I've done. Friend, that's works. That's just exactly what we've been talking about here, about that wide way. But you know, the best that we can do, Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, the best that man can do is filthy rags. So if we're trying to work our way to heaven, friend, you're not going to make it. Now, once you're saved, you ought to work for him. You ought to serve him. And he'll give rewards one day for that. But you know, as you think of this, man was in a difficult time. There wasn't any way. But God sent his son, John 3:16. We'll often call that the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That word believe means to trust and to rely upon. It's when we come away from trusting anything in our life and trusting fully what Christ did on the cross. If you don't know Christ, won't you trust him? Maybe you're here and you know Christ, but you know, just as we've mentioned here, as we ought to be sharing the word of the gospel out to others, how important it is. Let's bow our head just for a moment, just before we close in prayer. If God's speaking to your heart, if I can pray with you and help you, I'd love to do that. May not have anything to do with salvation. Or if I could pray with you, I'd love to do that. Or maybe right now, just kind of think. Look in your mind. And if you know Christ as your Savior, just kind of rejoice and say, oh Lord, thank you for the salvation in Christ. And then we'll close in prayer.